Take two.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. This is an informal hearing on case number PU-22-410. It is February 6th, right, at 1:33 p.m.
2:30.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's different than our normal time.
Okay. I'm Commissioner Sherry Haugen-Huffert, and with me is Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. And Commissioner Randy Crisman cannot be here, so Julie and I will be hearing this case. So we will begin with any opening comments. I do not have any. Julie, do you?
I don't either.
Okay. So this is an informal hearing involving only undisputed facts. If there are any disputed facts, we will close the informal hearing and issue a notice of hearing. We will begin with Excel. So before starting the proceedings, we do have staff members here, so I'd like them to go around and introduce themselves for the record.
Rob Frank, staff.
Brian Johnson, staff.
Victor Shook, staff.
Okay, thank you. We did receive handouts, and they've been passed around, so I'm just going to turn this over to the company to present.
Thank you very much, commissioners and staff members. My name is Alex Nesbitt. I am with Xcel Energy, and joined with me today on the go-to meeting, I think apparently we're only able to do either the slideshow or the two other individuals that will be joining me with Xcel, and they are Farah Mandich, who's our Director of Resource Planning and Bidding, as well as Chris Shaw, who's a Regulatory Policy Manager with Xcel. As you may notice from our materials that we filed in this, Farah is the individual that filed written testimony on this, and what we'll be doing today, I'll just go through my five or six slides. It'll just give you some brief sort of general background and a description of this matter. And as in the past, if you have any questions whatsoever, feel free to ask at any point in time. If I can't answer it, and I probably won't be able to with some of the more specific things, I'll just generally defer to Farah or either Chris that are online on the go-to meeting as necessary.
It's never a bad idea to defer to Farah.
This absolutely what I've found out so far, so that's good. It's very nice to have her on the line. Even though I'm here in person by myself, I've got lots of support with me from afar. So if we'll go to the second slide, as we've discussed, or at least briefly alluded to, this is a 41-month extension of an existing 150-megawatt power purchase agreement for the output of Min Dakota Wind Facility. This is a facility that's owned by Avangrid Renewables, and it consists of 100 turbines along the Buffalo Ridge, which is located in Lincoln County, Minnesota, and Brookings County, South Dakota. As far as sort of a geographical location, Lincoln County, it's sort of in the southwestern corner, probably about 100 miles north of the southernmost border, and then Brookings County, South Dakota, it's essentially where Brookings is, so it's centrally on the furthest eastern edge of South Dakota, right along the Buffalo Ridge. The facility itself, it's about 15,000 acres, but the footprint's less than 2% of that. Of that 150 megawatts, approximately 100 of those are located in Minnesota, and the remainder are in South Dakota. A little bit more background and context on this matter. The facility initially went into production on December 23rd, 2017, and we've had a 15-year power purchase agreement that has since expired on December 31, 2022. Early last year, 2022, the owner, Min Dakota Wind LLP, approached us to look at negotiating a power purchase agreement extension or an amendment in this matter. So we opened that up, and negotiations commenced in earnest in May of 2022, and then we signed an amended PPA on November 7th of 2022. These next couple of slides, what we're going to be talking about then is sort of the what the actual new PPA, the amended PPA, has in it, as well as our methodology that went into determining what would be sort of the best outcome for our customers in this. So once again, as I said, you can jump in with questions at any point in time, and I've also discussed with Robert and some of the other staffers ahead of time. If you have any questions as far as the trade secret information, we'll maybe have to, or we would have to stop this and go offline for those. And I do have copies of the trade secret application with me here as well, if necessary.
Can I just ask you a yes, no question at this time?
Yep.
Is the current PPAs different than the prior PPAs?
The initial PPA was for 15 years, and the new one is, yeah, it is absolutely new. It's revised for a lower.
And different conditions?
Yep. Okay. Yep. It has the lowered curtail. It has the curtailment cap rates on it, as well as a significantly lower price in it as well.
Okay. So that would all be trade secret information, so we would have to. Okay.
You are correct, yep. So I can give you sort of the broad strokes of everything first, and then we could go into the dollars and cents, or would you prefer to do dollars and cents first?
I'd prefer the broad strokes.
Broad strokes, all right,
yep.
Perfect.
Yep.
We'll do that. So the new power purchase agreement, it extends the existing PPA for an additional 41 months through May 31, 2026, the May 31, 2026 end date. That's so that it aligns properly with MISO's planning year. And the new PPA that we negotiated has two major benefits associated with it. It significantly reduces the contracted energy rate, as I just alluded to, and also there's a declining cap on compensable curtailments, which limits future cost risk due to congestion and negative locational marginal prices. With this, we've essentially tried to shift the congestion risk to the project owner as compared to customers. And on the next...
Some of the congestion risk, right?
Yeah.
The company still bears some of
it. And that's, yeah, where the compensable curtailment rate, yeah, trying to limit that as much as possible. Mm-hmm.
I will have more questions about that, but that's probably into the trade secret stuff.
Yeah.
Comfortable barreling ahead.
And, yeah, and Farrell will do a better job of answering.
Okay.
Yeah, and Chris, too. So looking onto the next slide, slide four, when we initially started looking at this matter for negotiations, we wanted to establish a market-based price for the PPA. So we wanted to estimate a market value of energy delivered to the system by the MnDakota facility. We wanted to see what customers may otherwise pay for energy from MISO at the same location. So with this, we are looking at 2021 and 2022 hourly data. We are looking at the wind production to the system, what the curtailments are currently looking like, as well as looking at locational marginal pricing at the wind node. And with that, on the slide five, as far as our methodology, once we had that baseline information, we were able to determine a realized average LMP. We were able to calculate annual compensation for all positively priced hours for 2021 and 2022 based on actual energy to the system during those hours. And then with that as well, we are also able to adjust the annual compensation for additional non-compensable curtailment payments. And so with this, we were able to establish curtailment threshold on an average annual basis to maintain a neutral impact to the customer. So once we were able to set up the baseline just as far as what curtailment looks like, what they'd be expecting to pay at that node, then we were able to set up a competitive price and able to negotiate accordingly for that dollars and cents, and also we have that declining curtailment cap that we can get to shortly here when the time comes.
Alex, a question on that. Did you just use 1 year to determine the average?
I think it was 2 years, I believe. But we can, I'll have to ask the individuals on the phone. I don't know if they want to jump in now with it as far as the exact.
Yeah.
Yep, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Commissioner, this is Farrah Mandich. We did just use 1 year of history. Prior to that, the the facility did not incur very much curtailment, so we used the most recent year to sort of provide a more appropriate view of kind of where we think that might go in the future over the short-term extension.
Okay. So you used the 1 year, and was it 100% based on that, or did you look ahead to future development in that area and project a certain level of increase?
It was based on historical information.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Farah. So on the final substantive slide that I have, as far as the overall prudence of this PPA, the proposed 41-month extension of the existing Minn Dakota Wind PPA does not meet an identified need in the company's integrated resource plan. However, the price of the negotiated PPA is below the system average cost of fuel recovered by North Dakota customers through the fuel cost rider. Thus, it will generate savings for customers, and the company believes it's prudent to keep it on the NSP system. In addition, as we've been talking about curtailment issues in this area, the fixed price of the PPA provides a hedge against volatility in the energy market and potential further inflationary pressures.
Okay, so
okay.
Are we to ask you questions now?
Would you, yeah.
Or do you have a presentation? Do those two have some things to go through?
If you have just general questions now, we can go into those prior to trade secret information, which...
I think this would not be trade secret,
okay.
So I'll go ahead and ask.
Yep.
Under what conditions would this PPA... not save customers money? What would have to happen before it would not save them money?
Fair, I'll probably just immediately defer to you on these preceding questions, if that's
sure.
All right. Thank you.
Dave, what
yeah, no problem. Sorry, I was trying to get off mute there. I think the terms of the PPA are designed such that there are still compensable curtailments included, but they're relatively limited. And we tried to factor the potential value of those into the PPA. So we can get into more detail in closed session if helpful, but the actual market value of the energy delivered to the system from this plant last year was higher than the price that we negotiated. We took into account the potential compensable curtailments that we could need to pay for in the first couple of years to make sure that we were negotiating a price that was some percentage below that market value of the energy. So there definitely are circumstances under which, you know, the customers would still be paying more, but we try to limit that through the terms of the PPA.
So let me just propose a scenario that I'm kind of thinking of, and you can let me know if I'm right or wrong, or I should be thinking about it differently. So unless there's conditions whereby this power can't get to market because it's curtailed, or there's a record low amount of wind, this should save customers money.
I think that's correct. I think that's correct.
What else would those are the kind of things I'm trying to figure out. What else would have to happen that would make this not a good deal?
Yeah, so I think the other factor that could potentially impact this is if the average LMP for the year ended up below the price that we negotiated. So the unit would not be curtailed. It would still be generating, but the market price that we would have the benefit of at that LMP was consistently lower than the price we calculated. That could potentially result in customer costs. I think, you know, when you're looking at LMP over the course of a year, there are many hours in which the LMP is higher than that, and then some hours in which it's lower, but the unit is still operating. So I think, you know, we tried to incorporate that risk as best we could by calculating the annual average, and then setting, you know, negotiating a price that was lower than that. But it is possible that LMPs could, for one reason or another, consistently be below that negotiated price, and then customers would not benefit in that instance.
Okay, good. That's helpful, Farah. Thank you. Any other questions?
I kind of asked my question.
I think it would be good. Then we could talk a little bit more about the curtailments and the price that you negotiated and stuff.
Okay. So, So this portion of the hearing will concern costs and pricing information, curtailment terms associated with the amendment to the PPA. So this matter will be discussed in a closed hearing. The legal authority for this closing of this meeting is North Dakota Century Code Chapter 44-04, and this information sought be protected meets the definition of trade secrets as set forth in North Dakota Century Code 44-25.1-014. So at this time, a motion will be made by a commissioner.
I move the commission close the hearing to hear trade secret information in Northern States Power Company Advanced Prudence 150 megawatt PPA application, case number PU-22-410.
Okay. And you have to second it. So a motion has been made and second. Is there any discussion to the motion? Sensing none, I will take a roll call. Commissioner Fedorchak?
Yes.
Commissioner Haugen-Huffert? Aye. So we are now in a closed. The closed hearing will be recorded, and all members of the commission are reminded to limit to their discussion during the closed meeting to the closed hearing to the announced topic. Any collective decisions, collective commitment, or other final action by the commissioner must occur after it convenes in the opening meeting. We will now ask the members of the public who are attending the meeting to leave the room. We anticipate adjourning the closed meeting and reconvening the open portion of the hearing at approximately 3:05 p.m. The minutes will show that the closed meeting began at 2:50 p.m. We'll stop recording and stop broadcasting. Okay. The public has been invited back into the meeting room, and we are now back in opening hearing. It is 3:07 p.m. So the handouts that have been presented are now considered part of the evidence. Is there any objection to that?
No objections.
Okay.
No objection from staff.
Okay. Is there anything else to add from either the company or advocacy regarding this hearing?
Nothing further for me to add. I don't know, Chris or Farah, if you have anything further that you'd like to say.
The only thing I would just add is that on top of the energy value, we are getting accredited megawatts to count toward our MISO obligations and RECs from this project. So those are sort of incremental benefits that we didn't already discuss. But other than that, I don't have anything to add.
I was going to ask about that, and I didn't, in terms of the, are you able to share in the public your accredited capacity for this facility?
It's listed as trade secret on page 11 of the testimony on line 15.
Thank you. Got it. Okay, nothing further for me, sorry.
Okay, is there anything else? Farah, Chris, anyone? Okay, then the evidence as presented will now become part of the official record upon which a decision will be made. Are there any other matters for the record one last time? Seeing none, this informal hearing is now closed at 3:10 p.m. Thank you.